Okay, we kick off from where we stopped last week. Concerning spirituals. Right? Concerning spirituals, this is week 4. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Right? Amen.
Glory to God.
So, our conclusions. We concluded, that was last week, or we said the authority of Christ is in the believer. And it is, we said the authority of Christ is in the believer, right? Right?
Yes.
And we said that authority is the indwelling of the Spirit. We said that authority is the indwelling of the Spirit. So therefore, he said teaching them to observe all things that are commanded you will be teach them this reality. So it is this reality of the indwelling that should be taught. Hallelujah. So therefore we can say what should be taught should be, or what should be taught will be heaven and earth. Right? Teach them heaven and earth. We expound on that topic, heaven and earth, shortly, very soon, one of our meetings. They should be taught the Spirit. They should be taught concerning spirituals. So heaven and earth is what the indwelling, right? So, would that be spirituals? Yes. Right? So, teach them concerning spirituals. So, what Jesus said is teaching them to observe concerning spirituals. Would that be correct? Because what he taught them would be concerning spirituals. Jonathan, I follow you.
Yes.
What he taught would be concerning spirituals. So, teach them concerning spirituals. Would not be out of place to say that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry. Okay, hallelujah. So teaching them concerning spiritual will not be out of place. So Moses, heaven and earth, we said, will be prefigured in or with the tabernacle. What will be prefigured in the tabernacle that he gave to them. So when Paul said concerning spirituals, when Paul says concerning spiritual, that will be 1 Corinthians 12:1. Let's get to 1 Corinthians 12:1. Says, "Now concerning spirituals, I do not want you to be ignorant." So before we look at when Paul says concerning spiritual, let's look at some few details. When Paul said, he says, "Now concerning spirituals," which is peri. Perineumaticals. He said, "I wouldn't want you to be ignorant." So we said first of all that we'll have in the background of this study, we'll have what we say we'll have in the background of this study? We say we'll have Moses, heaven and earth in the background, right? We'll have Moses, heaven and earth in the background, prefigured in the tabernacle. So we'll have that in the background. Okay, so when Paul said concerning spiritual, remember we said when that word spirituals is used last week, when the word spirituals is used, it means that the writer have explained or have said things along that line, spirits, right? There must be an explanation concerning spirit, either before or immediately after the word, the use of the word spirituals, right? So let's look at how Paul would use the word spirituals to the church at Corinth. You know, last week we looked at it from the church at Colossae, right? How we use the word spiritual in Colossae, in Galatians, and how other writers to use the word spiritual. So let us narrow down our study to 1 Corinthians. So when Paul said concerning spiritual, that implies he has said a lot of things, or he has said some things along that line of spirituals. Hallelujah. So we're going to investigate what Paul said concerning the Spirit in context. So let's run quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start from verses 1. 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 1. He says, "Now, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellency of speech, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of man's wisdom, of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost," or with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Hallelujah. This is the word demonstration of the Spirit and power. That word demonstration is the Greek word apodexis, which implies to put forth light on the surface, to put forth light on a dark surface. Hallelujah. So he said, "My preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power." So when Paul says, what is Paul saying? What is Paul saying when he said, "I came not with excellence of speech, that I was with you in much weakness and in fear, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not to entice you, but we're not in the presence of human wisdom, but with the demonstration." So when Paul said with the demonstration of the Spirit power, it tells us that he's saying that first of all, when the gospel is first ministered, or when the gospel is ministered, it is the Spirit of God putting forth light on the works of Christ. Not first ministered, take away that. When the gospel is ministered, it is the Spirit of God putting forth light on the works of Christ. So when a man's first contact with the Spirit of God is when the gospel is ministered to him. Do you understand? A man's first contact, with the Spirit was when the gospel was first ministered to him. So Paul calls the preaching of the gospel the demonstration of the Holy Ghost power. That was something. He calls it the Spirit putting forth light on the works of Christ. He calls the gospel the Spirit putting forth light on the works of Christ. Do you get that? Hallelujah. This is Paul explaining the Spirit in the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if he says that, then look at what he said in verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see that? Hallelujah. Your faith should stand in the power of God. However, we speak the wisdom of God to those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Hallelujah. So when he talks about the wisdom of God, he talks about it in the light of the gospel. Hallelujah. So the gospel calls the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Glory to God. So we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages to our glory, for which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, for this reason, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Say, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, He goes to tell us something very important. But He tells us, I will receive not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what is Paul saying in verse 12, 11 to 12? Paul is saying, at the new birth, what we receive is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. What we receive is the Spirit of God. So, in the new birth, what a man receives is the Spirit of God. You understand me? So, listen to it in two ways. First of all, my first contact with the Spirit of God was when the gospel is preached. Right? Right? So, Paul calls the gospel. You have to take note of Paul's use of the word Spirit, or how he explained the Spirit. He says, first of all, He says, when the gospel is ministered, it is the Spirit of God putting forth light on the works of Christ. I'm being careful about to use that word finished work. Being very careful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before I'll be tagged the finished work, Pastor. Hallelujah. So let me just on the works of Christ. Hallelujah. So if the Spirit putting forth light on the works of Christ. Now let's take note of that. Now he has explained the Spirit as in the light of the gospel. Now when the gospel is ministered, it is the Spirit's work. Do you understand? Now he's now telling us again that okay, when I now receive the gospel, what I receive is the Spirit. Do you understand? So when I receive that message, he said, what I have received is the Spirit. Hallelujah. And remember, we've seen from the explanation of Paul and also from the explanation of Jesus before now that the Spirit is Christ in the resurrection. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that will now further explain, or that will now further help us see why Paul in verse 13 will now say the things. Okay, that we know the things that are fully given to us of God. Why? Okay. He said, these things we also speak, not in the words in which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Did you get that? So take note. He has explained the Spirit to us first of all as what we'll receive in the new birth, right? He calls number, and then also he has explained to us in verse 4 that the Spirit is the one that puts forth light on the message. Do you understand? So when the gospel is ministered, when the gospel is ministered, I have a contact with the Spirit. Do you understand me? So listen to how he has used the word Spirit. Now, remember in the book, in his writing to the church at Galatians, in Galatians 3, he said you started in the Spirit. Do you understand me? He said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Meaning, the believer started in the Spirit. Do you understand me? Why would you say the believer started in the Spirit? Because the message ministered, first of all, is the Spirit's work. Do you understand me? When you receive the message, you receive the Spirit. So, Paul can now say, you have begun in the Spirit. Do you understand? Now, look at what he's now saying in verse 13. He said, these things will also speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teaches. He said, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. He said, comparing spiritual things. Now, when he now brings in spiritual things and spiritual, when he said, comparing spiritual things, everything is spiritual things and spiritual. He said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, the spiritual will be the man who has received the Spirit in verse 12. Right? Right? Glory to God. He said, which will speak. So, the man who has received the thing, who has received the Spirit, who has received the message in verse 12 is called now spiritual. Now, he uses another word, spiritual things. So, the spiritual things will not be what? The gospel. Because he has said in verse 4, are you following this? Well, he has said in verses 4 that the gospel is what? The gospel ministered is the Spirit putting forth light on Christ's work. Are you getting that? So he will not call the gospel spiritual thing. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. Spiritual things, sorry, not spiritual thing. Spiritual things and spiritual. So the gospel is spiritual. Why? The believer is spiritual. Are you taking note of that? That is what Paul has made us see. The gospel is spiritual. The believer is spiritual. Glory to God. Glory to God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, beautifully, I mean,
In verse 15, also he calls the believer spiritual. He says, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, and he has himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the right the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him who have the mind of Christ."
When he says who have the mind of Christ, means who have the explanations. Hallelujah. Of Christ.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "But and I, brother, couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people."
I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people. Remember, he's not telling them you are no more spiritual. So that is why you start off from chapter 2. You must read from chapter 2 into chapter 3. He has called you spiritual, right? By the new, because of the new birth, right? Now he now said, "I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual." Why? We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. So, but something to take note of here, he still calls the believer spiritual. Do you understand? I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. I mean, I cannot speak to you as who you are. Do you understand? As your mean, with your real personality, I could not speak to you as who you are, really. Say, but rather, as unto Cana, even as unto base. Do you understand? Then he went ahead to now tell him why he called them base. Now, he called them base, not, he, that way, when he mentions why he called them base, you now discover that he's not changing who they really are, he's only addressing their conduct. So in conduct you are babes. We'll get to look at that. Hallelujah. I follow you. Glory to God. So in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, "I follow spiritual, not spiritual." So call Paul still called them spiritual. In verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple? Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" I mean, you are the temple of God, sorry. "And that the Spirit of God dwells in you." So, you see, he tells us that the Spirit of God dwells in us. The man who is born again, the man who is called spiritual in verse 1. He said, "The Spirit of God dwells in you." What is Paul breaking out? So, we are spiritual because of the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Say, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In chapter 6, verse 11. We just jump in. It says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul says, at the new birth, this is similar to what we saw right from Peter. That at the new birth, we have been washed and sanctified. I mean, we have been washed. That is sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Are you seeing that? So this is why we are spiritual. Are you following me? Yes.
Okay. So we are spiritual because what? We are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's move ahead. Look at verse 17, just as we go down. It says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Did you see that? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Is one spirit with him. Are you following it? So Paul is explaining to us that what we have is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And because, remember, he has now called that new birth the joining. He has now called that receiving the joining. Do you understand me? He has now called that receiving in chapter 2, verse 12. Do you understand? We have received. He has called that act of us receiving the joining is one spirit with him. I follow you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. It says, look at verse 19. And so, do you not know that your body, that is the word soma, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We still look at that one body again in this study. We still look at it. So I'm resisting the temptation to talk about soma.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own.
Hallelujah.
Your body is the temple.
Did you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is it your physical body? Okay, let's continue. I don't want to talk about soma today. Hallelujah. But once we have to talk about soma, we'll come back.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So what is God telling us? First of all, he has just told us we have one spirit. Right? And we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So temple used here, there are two words majorly used for temple in the scriptures. So what Paul uses the word Naion or Naios here is the word used for, in fact, that word, that the word Naios is what you find almost everywhere in the epistles used, apart from once when it was used, when the other word is used, which is the outer court. Well, what you can call the outer court or the tabernacle. Do you understand me? But when you use the word Naios, he uses the inner court, what we call the inner court, where it is believed that, or let me put it this way, a word used for what they call the inner court, right? The holiest of all, in Moses' tabernacle, where it is believed that God dwells. Do you understand? Like that word Naios, is used almost everywhere in the new, in the epistle. Only once the Paul used the outer court, once that word, the outer court, is used, and it's not perfect. When Paul was talking to them about their conduct, do you understand? Hallelujah. That should be chapter 10. I actually didn't have that in my notes. Okay. Hallelujah. So you find the reference to that word Naios in 2 Corinthians 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" So the believer is the temple of God.
Do you understand me? The believer is the temple of God.
So what argument is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Do you understand me? You are the temple of the living God. Ephesians 2:21. He says, in whom the whole body, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You find it also in 1 Corinthians 13:16-17. 1 Corinthians 13.
Sorry, I guess this is interesting.
1 Corinthians 3:16-17. You find it also in Acts 7:48. It says, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What have you built for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all this?
Hallelujah. So the Most High dwell not in temples made with hands. That is
a disclaimer.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So remember, we are still looking at the word. We are investigating the word spirit, right? And spiritual used by Paul.
So if let's go back to 1 Corinthians. When chapter 6, right? So let's just go to chapter 10. In chapter 10, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. Were all baptized into Moses." Take note of that word. "Were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." We've talked about that word, baptized into Moses, right? We're identified with Moses. "See, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." Hallelujah. So when you get to chapter 10, look at what we've done now. When you get to chapter 10, and you see spiritual drink and spiritual meat, will it be hard for you to know what spiritual drink and spiritual meat will be? When you hear spiritual meat and spiritual drink, what should come to your mind? 1 Corinthians 2:13, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Are you following me? Because Paul has now narrowed the discussion. Whatever thing you will be finding concerning spiritual will be spiritual things and the spiritual. Do you understand me? So when you start to hear spiritual meat, spiritual drink, you automatically know that Paul is writing with a figure of speech, right? It's a figure of speech. So when you hear spiritual meat or spiritual drink, it won't be hard for you to see that it's 1 Corinthians 2:3, which we say refers to the gospel or the message. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So when you hear spiritual meat, say they all drank, look at it again, verses 3, they all ate the same spiritual food. He couldn't have been talking about manna. That came. No, we're not talking about bread that came. No. Do you understand me? So because manna, once it is, because it is called manna, because they ate it, it can't be spiritual. Are you following me? Because they literally ate it. That is, I'm talking about the bread, the manna. Because they literally ate it, it cannot be spiritual. Are you following me? But that eating of that bread was a figurative expression of something that we're going to see. Are you following that? You know, I've heard somebody say, you know, you don't understand. Those guys in the wilderness, they enjoy, they ate spiritual manna, they ate spiritual bread. Bread was empty. You know, if there's this saying that you cannot throw the baby with the water, right? Right? And you can't throw away the baby and the water. Yes, in as much as they say that, that is doctrinally wrong. But you know, we can't just throw everything like that, because truly they ate spiritual food. But the spiritual food now is not the bread, it's not the meat. But did they eat spiritual food? Yes, they did. Do you understand? Are you following me? They didn't eat spiritual food. They didn't eat spiritual meat. They didn't drink spiritual drink. But it cannot be the water that flowed from the rock that is spiritual drink. Are you following me? It cannot be the bread that is spiritual food. It cannot be the raisin that is spiritual meat. So now, what is Paul now doing? Paul is bringing, you see, Paul is now bringing these things that they ate physically, and he's now using it, he's now making you see that it was figuratively given to them. Do you understand? So, how
If Paul now make us see that it was regularly given to them by the use of that word spiritual in front of it. Do you understand? Are you following me? Aha. Because if we are to take it literally, okay, we are not spiritual men. I'm just trying to. I'm only throwing a stone, so don't take it. We are not spiritual men. So therefore, let's not eat physical food again. We are spiritual men. Why are you eating beans? Why are you drinking Pepsi? Do you understand? Why are you taking PG for smoking? Why are you eating rice? Let's sit down and let bread fall from. Let's eat, since we are spiritual, let's eat spiritual bread. Let it fall from heaven. Take note, I'm doing this stunt. Let's eat spiritual. So to make you know that Paul is using that figuratively. Are you following me? Aha. So what is he trying to communicate to us figuratively? Because we know that no rock followed them. He said, look at that verse 5. I mean that verse 4. Verse 4 said, they all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock. The rock didn't fall from heaven now. Are you following me? The rock did not fall from heaven. They met the rock. But Paul is now using that and saying that rock is spiritual. Now it will not behold a man with a hardened heart to not travel to Jerusalem to look for that rock. Say, this is the rock that they drank for. This is spiritual rock. Do you understand? It will not be the definition of, you can't be looking for hardness of heart again. You have already seen it. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, because we know that no rock, and he said that rock that followed them. So, Paul, as first of all, he said they drank of that spiritual rock, right? For the drank of that spiritual rock. Now, he now puts a clause to make your mind know that it's not that rock. He said the rock follows them. He now calls it that rock was Christ. Do you understand? So, another thing again that now comes to your mind. Was Christ physically available? No. Was there a rock that was following them? No. But there was a rock. Do you understand? Eh? Are you following me? There was a rock. So now, as Bible students, our own role now, what was that rock? What is that rock? What is that case? What is that drink? Do you understand? Okay, let's see. Let's go further a bit. So, because you are not the man that reads out of context and jump from that just carry 1 Corinthians and do many more the way some of us did Bible were growing. Just carry the Bible, and just say spiritual rock, spiritual drink. Do you understand? And your mind begins to form that. Oh Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup with spiritual drink. I want to drink as I sleep. No, that will be your response when you did not read in context. You have to think, there's a spiritual rock. Oh, there's a spiritual rock. Lord, open my eyes to see the spiritual rock tonight. Then that I will keep drinking. Because it is a sign of reading out of context. Because in context, Paul has made us see that he's going to use spiritual genius. From chapter 2. Jonathan, he has said, and he divided it for us. He said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Jonathan, so whatever thing you'll be finding in the subsequent chapters will be either spiritual, which will refer to the believer, or spiritual things, which he will call what the gospel in verse 4. Jonathan, I follow you. Which we call the gospel in verse 4. So automatically, what Paul is telling us now, what we are seeing now in chapter 10 is spiritual things. And Paul is using figuratively to talk about the gospel. So what did they have following them was the gospel. Because all the while, the gospel was ministered to them. Luke 24. Verse 25, oh, who slow about to believe in all the prophets have spoken. He said, upmount the Christ to suffer this thing and be returned to his glory. He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Meaning, all the while in the wilderness, what they had with them, constantly with them, was the gospel. Do you understand? Are you hearing me? Aha. So we can say the manna they ate was a figurative expression of the fact that what they had the gospel with them. Do you understand? I follow you. Aha. Jesus now helps us in John. He says, I am the bread of life. So your father ate manna in the wilderness. Where are they? Do you understand? So automatically tells you that that manna they ate in the wilderness was a figurative, was used in, like I was used as a figure of speech or as a figure. Do you understand? To point to the fact that they had the gospel with them, and the gospel is Christ. Do you understand? Paul showed them that that rock they drank from is not the rock that followed them. No, that rock was an expression, though there was a rock that they drank water from, but that rock, they drank water from it, but that rock was used figuratively. Do you understand? So the water that came from the rock was figurative. Do you understand? You talk about what the water of Christ. Do you understand? And it was, it all still do what? The gospel. So can we say something that the water of Christ and the water of Paul, I mean, and the water of Moses stand together? The water of Christ and that of Moses will stand together. The bread of Christ and the bread of Moses will not fall apart. They will stand together. So automatically, we can also say faith in Christ and the faith Moses preached will stand together. Do you understand? Are you following that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the rock they drank from was a prefiguring of the message they had. You know that was a prefiguring of the message they had. So when Paul says the rock is Christ, your mind should be on what he said earlier, which is what? Spiritual things. You understand? Remember we said, you understand? Your mind should just go back on what that was, spiritual things. So your mind should go back to our spiritual things, which is described as what the gospel. So what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 10 is that they had the gospel preached to them in the wilderness. You understand? They had the gospel preached to them in the wilderness. So when you now get to chapter 12, I now say, now concerning spirituals, your mind will not run again. Because he will be talking about, your mind will be on the fact that what Paul wants to discuss will be things in the spirit and things of the spirit. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? So, we will be talking about things in the spirit, things of the spirit. So, I don't want to say this because it's not in my notes. I will not say it this year. But I'm still studying that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
will be things in the spirit and things of the spirit. Right? So now Paul wants to talk about concerning spirituals. Glory to God. So concerning spiritual will be in the spirit, of the spirit, right? So the spiritual, meat, drink, they are things of the spirit. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Paul speaking about concerning spiritual will be not alien to the believer. That's what I'm trying to say. So concerning spiritual will not be something that is where the believer is. Let me put it like that for you. So it will not be something alien to the believer. No. Do you understand? Glory to God. Because the believer is in the spirit. Do you understand? Glory to God. So he went ahead to now use the word, I don't want you to be ignorant. That word ignorant is the Greek word agnoio. Agnoio in the Greek. It speaks of a willful ignorance. That word agnoio, A-G-N-O-E-O, agnoio. It speaks of a willful ignorance, that is a deliberate not walking in the light of what you know. Deliberately, you are not walking in the light of what you know. Do you understand? Just like somebody who knows that if I put my hand inside fire, it's going to burn me, and you went ahead and put your hand inside fire and said, let me see if it's really burn me. Do you understand? You are aware, and you went ahead. Do you understand? So Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, meaning I don't want you to be in the dark. Do you understand? Don't you know it? But why would he use the word agnoio? Because he has already shown us in chapter 1, verse 7. Look at chapter 1, verse 7. I'll start from verse 6. It says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you came short in no gift, you came behind in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you came behind in no gift. So Paul had told them that they came behind in no gift earlier. So that means, what does that tell you? They are aware. But they are not just walking in the light of what they know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they came behind in none of the charisma, in no charisma. So Paul went ahead in chapter 12 to discuss spirituals with them. Question. Because it says, if they came behind no gift, it then knew that they knew about it, right? Right? They knew about it. So question would not be, if they knew about it, then why did Paul write to them about it? If they knew about it, then why would Paul write to them about it? We are not driving, we are not going back. We are reinforcing what we need. Hallelujah. Okay. Remember, we have said earlier that the background of the study will be addressed, or earlier on we said the background of the study will be Moses tabernacle, right? Right? But I want us to do something. The background of this study will be addressed with Moses tabernacle and the gathering. Moses tabernacle, permit me to use, and Moses gathering. So why would I call Moses gathering? He had just showed us something in chapter 10. Said they were all baptized into Moses. So in the background of our story, we'll have Moses gathering. We'll have Moses tabernacle. Or the background of the story will be addressed to Moses gathering and Moses tabernacle. Look at chapter 11. So when Paul said concerning spirituals, He is about to address something.
Hallelujah.
He is about to address something. And what is he addressing?
Chapter 11, verses 17.
Now in this I give, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. So you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions amongst you. And I believe it. In part, I believe it.
So, first of all, so this will be the background of why Moses is writing to them. And Moses will be correcting them with what? Moses, Tabernacle. And Moses gathering. Or the gathering in the wilderness. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. So, he said, and also you discover that, okay, let's not go there for now. Because in chapter 10, Paul has already used that gathering to address them, that you don't, that what happened to them is a tupose. Right? Is a tupose. That is what serve as an example. That word tupose means this thing that happened then can still repeat itself again. So you don't walk in the flesh. Are you following me? So what did Paul do? Paul automatically in chapter 10 used, you know, they were unbelieving. So Paul weighed in unbelief and walking in the flesh for the believer on the same parallel. Do you understand? Because the root of walking in the flesh is unbelief. I hear you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So therefore, chapter 11 verse 17 to 18 will be the background of this study, of what Paul is about to address them. So chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is correction. It's like it's corrective. Paul is about to correct something. Do you understand? So it's more of corrective. So therefore, the issue in the church at Corinth was in their gathering. That was what we saw, right? Say, if I hear that when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions amongst you. So the issue in the church at Corinth was in their gatherings. They have divisions and strifes. Do you understand? They have divisions and strifes. So therefore, okay, let me pause a while. Let me go back to what I said earlier. I want to make it a bit more clear. Unbelief in the gospel, I think, is the root of what? It's the root of walking in the flesh, right? Okay. So, meaning, walking in the flesh, walking in the flesh makes a believer, man, one who believes. Now, it doesn't make the believer becomes unbelieving or makes him not a believer. Do you understand me? But he places him on that platform that he then behaves and acts as a man who is not born again. Do you understand? So they weigh on the same parallel. Do you understand? So that's why Paul will now use the fact that they tempted Christ in wilderness. We're going to see that tomorrow. The fact that they tempted Christ in wilderness as an admonition. So this thing served as an admonition. Do you understand? That we should not lust over what they lusted. Do you understand? So what they lusted after is actually unbelievable. But when a believer begins to act in the same way, he's walking in the flesh. Do you understand? Hallelujah.
We'll get to see some of those things tomorrow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I have to quickly show us this so that it will blend as we talk tomorrow. I hear glory to God. So you see why
everybody was there around for the 2 meters. Because what I just said now is not part of the topic.
It's not part of what is in my notes. So it has to blend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said the issue with the Church of Corinth is in their gathering. Right? They have strifes and divisions. So their conduct when they gather is the reason why Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 verse 1 will call them babes. So I couldn't speak to another spiritual mother as uncle babes. Do you understand? That's why we call them babes. Babes is their conduct. They have strifes. They have what? Divisions. They took themselves to the court. Is that what all believers do? Do you understand? They shame themselves. They argue over everything. Is that what all believers do? That's what they do. Do you understand? They have fierce divisions. So when they have to take his father's wife, and everybody just kept quiet. Do you understand? They had serious divisions in their garden. Hallelujah. In fact, some began to even classify themselves as for Paul, Apollos, and for Cephas. Do you understand? This is new. I'm not Paul's disciple, so you should carry your Paul's revelation of identification and go your own way. Leave us with our Apollos and the John. Leave us, let us with our wide on it, and let us know Christ on John. Stop giving us a Greek word and Hebrew word. Do you understand? And for this person, this is why. And for Peter, no long talk, no long exegesis. Just give us the word. Tell us that. But Peter spoke long ago. Don't mind what I just said. Hallelujah. But all this is for you to understand what I'm saying. They had fierce rivals. Tell us that. Some say, no, me, I'm a great preacher. I listen, my father in the Lord is a great messenger. You have prosperity, so believe the word. So you see that fierce faction, that fierce heresies among them. Do you understand? The factions among them. Fierce one. To the point that they now come together to eat. That is in chapter 11. When they come together, they usually, as their practice was, we saw that on GPL, as their practice was, they will come with food. Do you understand? They will come with food to eat. To share. Now, those who don't have will now be shamed by those who have. Do you know that? They will not be shamed because you don't have. Tell us that. He said, this has led to some even dying. Tell us that because of they didn't have to eat. So they shame those who have and who do not have. So, do you see how fierce this competition can be? Or this rival can be? Do you understand? So now Paul now said, see, in this conduct you are a babe. Can you see why Paul called it in their conduct? Hallelujah. So in their conduct, they are called babes. Glory to God. Because of how they carry themselves among themselves. So that word babes is the Greek word nepios. Nepios. Is a word used for innocence. We've done this study before, but we'll do it again. It's used both positively and negatively. Both positively and negatively. positively is used in Matthew 11 verse 25. He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Babes there will imply innocence. In chapter 12, verse 4, he said, how he entered the house of God. So that is actually another scripture. That should be okay. Let's leave that. Luke 10:21, the same thing. What? The same word. Luke 10:21 and 22. In 1 Thessalonians 2:7. He says, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. We were gentle among you. That's the word gentle. We were gentle among you. Hallelujah. Innocence. Negatively is used in Romans 2:20. For conduct. Romans 2:20. Possibly 26, you know. Coming. Romans 2. Okay, 20. From verse 19, it says, and are confident that you yourselves, are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. Conduct.
You see that? Conduct. In 1 Corinthians 3, one where we've read, conduct. 1 Corinthians 13:11.
Conduct also. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 13:11. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
So, conduct that is not of the gospel, that is not of Christ. Galatians 4:1, we find it here too. Galatians 4:1.
Let's look at Galatians 4:1. He said, the head, as long as he remains a child, right? I have had someone told me, but sir, that thing is not negative, now it's positive. The hair, that's his hair. No. In chapter 4, as I said that the hair as long as the child, it is negative the hair. Do you understand? Because here, when he talks about the hair, he's not referring to Israel.
Because you know, when you now jump to chapter 4, verse 1, out of context, brethren, not us. You know, that we are out of context.
The hair, as long as he's a child.
Let me reinforce one doctrine.
As long as he's a child. He didn't say when he's a child. He said as long as you can become a, you can stay in the fields for 10 years. He said as long as.
Do you understand? Hallelujah. No, but if you read from chapter 3 into chapter 4, you discover that he was actually talking about the Israelites. Do you understand? He was talking about the children of Israel. He says they are, he called them the head. But as long as they were a child, they differed not from the servant. Do you understand? Are you following me? So he talks about the nation Israel. And he called them deeds. How? In their conduct. How they walked. Do you understand? Are you following me? So it's not referring to a believer. So when you get to Galatians 5, you read and say, the believer. He said he's kept under tutors and instructors. No. So the Lord keeps you under tutors and instructors. Waiting for a time when you will not match up. He keeps you. You know? No. He was talking about the children of Israel. Do you understand? Okay, hallelujah. So reading in context is very key. Very key. Okay. Ephesians 4:14, we find it there too. We be no more babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That comes into play again. Conduct, tossed to and fro. Conduct. Hebrews 5:13. You find it also there. So, babe is not a growth stage. Rather, it is used to show innocence and also to describe one who walks in the flesh. That is a believer who acts carnal. Do you understand? A believer who acts carnal. So the same way, Paul, due to their conduct of divisions and strife, in 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 1 to 3, called them babes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in addressing a background issue, of 1 Corinthians 11, which will be their conduct when they come together, sharing most especially, have that in your mind, sharing. Would we not call that the love walk? Do we not call that the love walk? Will sharing have to do with love walk? Aha. Do you understand? So, concerning their sharing, concerning their love walk, we will now teach them that their gathering, that their love walk should be spiritual. That their gathering, Paul will now teach them what their gathering should be like. What the love walk really is. The love walk is not coming to share food. The love walk is spiritual. Do you understand? Are you following that? So Paul will now teach them what their love walk should be, what their gathering should entail. And that is why in chapter 12, he will talk about the spiritual. He talk about spiritual gift, talks about the oppression, and here he say for the profit of all. Do you understand? He will emphasize that word profit of all in chapter 12. In chapter 12, you'll find him talk about by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. That's happening. Did you get that? He will talk about the one body in chapter 12. In chapter 13, he will not talk about love. Where? In their gathering. Do you understand? In chapter 14, he will say for the edification. He will talk about what? Edification. Where would that be? In their gathering. Do you understand? So the background of chapter 12 to chapter 14 will be what? The gathering. What should happen in the gathering? What should happen among believers? Are you following that? Are you following me? Hallelujah. So that will be the background. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to call it, we're going to end it here today. Hallelujah. We're going to end it here today. So now we'll pick it up from here
next week, as we begin to delve into chapter 12 very well of 1 Corinthians. Have you learned something? Just show.